It's December the 10th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. What a great journey it's been. December the 10th, we only have, about 3 more weeks to go, and we will be at the end of the book of Revelation. We will have done it. We started in Genesis, and by God's grace, we're going to finish this month the book of Revelation. So glad to have you with us. Just a reminder, in about 4 days, on December the 14th, Marlene is going to read for us 1 John, and she do that in 2 days, and then she 14th and 15th, the book of 1 John, and then on December the 17th, 2 and 3 John, and the book of Jude. I know you'll be looking forward to that. Just a reminder, here in this last month, we're pushing to the finish line. Don't forget, please don't forget, in the last month, like these videos, do subscribe to the Keep Believing YouTube channel and to the Rumble channel. That makes a great deal of difference to us. So today, did you get a nice note? Thank you, Pastor Ray, for being our earthly shepherd that leads people to Christ from all over the world through the reading of God's Word. Well, this much is true. We have heard from people all over the world, from virtually every continent, from countries all over the world. We've got pastors and friends and folks that I'll never meet until we get to heaven. It's the miracle of the internet. So glad that you're joining with us. And then my friend says, may you and Marlene know that you are both in our prayers daily. The Lord bless you and keep you. I like that. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the same to you, to our friend who wrote this. And may the Lord bless you and keep you wherever you are. Now today, the amazing little book of Micah, only 7 chapters, a small town prophet with a big time message. Micah was a man whose ministry spanned, it's really hard to say, but maybe about 50 years, from about 740 BC to about 690 BC, maybe about 50 years. He was a contemporary of Isaiah and Hosea. He truly was a small town boy. He was from the town of Moresheth, which we think was a small village somewhere south of Jerusalem in Judah, and yet God called him, and from this small town, God gave him a message both to the northern 10 tribes before they were taken away into captivity in 722 BC, and also to the southern 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. He prophesied in an era of moral and spiritual and civic apostasy. He has a lot to say, great deal of condemnation for the graft, for the greed, for the corruption, for how the people with money were taking advantage of the poor people all around them. His was a message of doom and of hope. Here is a very simple outline of the book. You'll see it as we begin to read this. There are 3 cycles in this book. Cycle number 1, judgment and restoration, chapters 1 and 2. Distress and deliverance, chapters 3, 4, and 5. And finally, indictment and triumph, chapters 6 and 7. And there are 2 passages that are very familiar to us. And the one we're going to read today, I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's an Advent verse. It's an Advent passage. You probably hear it quoted in every Christmas program you've ever attended. Well, Matthew's going to quote it. I'll tell you that much, and you'll know it when we get to it today. So, Lord, we pray as we read your word, speak to us. May your word transform us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Micah chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah the Moreshite. What he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, all you peoples, pay attention, earth, and everyone in it. The Lord God will be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is leaving his place and coming down to trample the heights of the earth. The mountains will melt beneath him, and the valleys will split apart like wax near a fire, like water cascading down a mountainside. All this will happen because of Jacob's rebellion and the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Isn't it Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Isn't it Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the countryside, a planting area for a vineyard. I will roll her stones into the valley and expose her foundations. All her carved images will be smashed to pieces. All her wages will be burned in the fire, and I will destroy all her idols. Since she collected the wages of a prostitute, they will again be used for a prostitute. Because of this, I will lament and wail. I will walk barefoot and naked. I will howl like the jackals and mourn like ostriches, for her wound is incurable and has reached even Judah. It has approached my people's city gate as far as Jerusalem. Don't announce it in Gath. Don't weep at all. Roll in the dust in Beth Lephra. Depart in shameful nakedness, you residents of Shafer. You, the residents of Zaanan, will not come out. Beth Ezel is lamenting. Its support is taken from you. Though the residents of Maroth anxiously wait for something good, disaster has come from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the horses to the chariot, you residents of Lachish. This was the beginning of sin for daughter Zion, because Israel's acts of rebellion can be traced to you. Therefore, send farewell gifts to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzib are a deception to the kings of Israel. I will again bring a conqueror against you who live in Maresha. The nobility of Israel will come to Adullam. Shave yourselves bald and cut off your hair in sorrow for your precious children. Make yourself as bald as an eagle, for they have been taken from you into exile. Micah 2. Woe to those who dream up wickedness and prepare evil plans on their beds. At morning light, they accomplish it because the power is in their hands. They covet fields and seize them. They also take houses. They deprive a man of his home, a person of his inheritance. Therefore, the Lord says, I am now planning a disaster against this nation. You cannot free your necks from it. Then you will not walk so proudly, because it will be an evil time. In that day, one will take up a taunt against you and lament mournfully, saying, we are totally ruined. He measures out the allotted land of my people, how he removes it from me. He allots our fields to traitors. Therefore, there will be no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by casting lots. Quit your preaching, they preach. They should not preach these things. Shame will not overtake us. House of Jacob, should it be asked, is the Spirit of the Lord impatient? Are these the things he does? Don't my words bring good to the one who walks uprightly? But recently my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the splendid robe from those who are passing through confidently, like those returning from war. You force the women of my people out of their comfortable homes, and you take my blessing from their children forever. Get up and leave, for this is not your place of rest, because defilement brings destruction, a grievous destruction. If a man comes and utters empty lies, I will preach to you about wine and beer. He would be just the preacher for this people. I will indeed gather all of you, Jacob. I will collect the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in the middle of its pasture. It will be noisy with people. One who breaks open the way will advance before them. They will break out, pass through the city gate, and leave by it. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord as their leader. Micah 3. Then I said, now listen, leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, aren't you supposed to know what is just? You hate good and love evil. You tear off people's skin and strip their flesh from their bones. You eat the flesh of my people after you strip their skin from them and break their bones. You chop them up like flesh for the cooking pot, like meat in a cauldron. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because of the crimes they have committed. This is what the Lord says concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who proclaim peace when they have food to sink their teeth into, but declare war against the one who puts nothing in their mouths. Therefore, it will be night for you without visions. It will grow dark for you without divination. The sun will set on those prophets, and the daylight will turn black over them. Then the seers will be ashamed and the diviners disappointed. They will all cover their mouths because there will be no answer from God. As for me, however, I am filled with power. by the Spirit of the Lord with justice and courage to proclaim to Jacob his rebellion and to Israel his sin. Listen to this, leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel who abhor justice and pervert everything that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with injustice. Her leaders issue rulings for a bribe. Her priests teach for payment, and her prophets practice divination for silver. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, isn't the Lord among us? No disaster will overtake us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become ruins, and the temple's mountain will be a high thicket. Micah chapter 4. Let me remind you, these three cycles. Cycle number one, we've already read, judgment and restoration. That's chapters 1 and 2. Cycle number 2, distress and deliverance, chapters 3, 4, and 5. And that chapter 3, there you have the distress. Now we're going to see the deliverance. Here it comes. In the last day, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. People will stream to it, and many nations will come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways so that we may walk in his paths. For instruction will go out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Bethlehem. He will settle disputes among many peoples and provide arbitration for strong nations that are far away. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. But each person will sit under his grapevine and under his fig tree with no one to frighten him. For the mouth of the Lord of armies has spoken. Though all the peoples walk in the name of their own gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. On that day, this is the Lord's declaration, I will assemble the lame and gather the scattered, those I have injured. I will make the lame into a remnant, those far removed into a strong nation. Then the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time on and forever. And you, watchtower for the flock, fortified hill of daughter Zion, the former rule will come to you. Sovereignty will come to daughter Jerusalem. Now, why are you shouting loudly? Is there no king with you? Has your counselor perished so that anguish grips you like a woman in labor? Writhe and cry out, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you will leave the city and camp in the open fields. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the grasp of your enemies. Many nations have now assembled against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let us feast our eyes on Zion. But they do not know the Lord's intentions or understand his plan, for he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, daughter Zion, for I will make your horns iron and your hooves bronze, so you can crush many peoples. Then you will set apart their plunder for the Lord, their wealth for the Lord of the whole earth. This has not happened yet. You got it? This written, what, 740, 730, 720 BC? Goes way back before the time of Christ. This has not happened yet. But today is coming. A day is coming when the Lord is going to gather. Going to gather his people. Though all the peoples walk in the names of their own gods, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. How's all this going to happen? How's the Lord going to do this? Micah 5, listen carefully. See if you've heard this before. Micah 5, now daughter who is under attack, you slash yourself in grief. A siege is set against us. They are striking the judge of Israel on the cheek with a rod. Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of the ruler's brothers will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd them in the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth. He will be their peace when Assyria invades our land, when it marches against our fortresses. We will raise up against it 7 shepherds, even 8 leaders of men. They will shepherd the land of Assyria with the sword, the land of Nimrod with a drawn blade. So he will rescue us from Assyria when it invades our land, when it marches against our territory. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for anyone or linger for mankind. Then the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, among many peoples, like a lion among animals of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which tramples and tears at it as it passes through, and there is no one to rescue them. Your hand will be lifted up against your adversaries, and all your enemies will be destroyed. In that day, this is the Lord's declaration, I will remove your horses from you and wreck your chariots. I will remove the cities of your land and tear down all your fortresses. I will remove sorceries from your hands, and you will not have any more fortune tellers. I will remove your carved images and sacred pillars from you, so that you will no longer worship the work of your hands. I will pull up the Asherah poles from among you and demolish your cities. I will take vengeance in anger and wrath against the nations that have not obeyed me. Did you get it? Did you get it? This is a good one for December the 10th. We're not far from Christmas. And lo, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they came to King Herod and said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. And Herod feigned interest. He was not sincere, you know that. But he went to the scribes, the brilliant Jewish minds who knew the whole Old Testament. They knew it. They knew all the books of the Old Testament. And where is this Messiah? Where is he going to be born? They knew the answer. And you know what they quoted? They quoted to Herod, and it's written in Matthew chapter 2. Bethlehem Ephrathah, Micah 5:2, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. So the year was 1865, and Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. And after his death, before he was buried in Springfield, they took the body of Abraham Lincoln, the coffin, took it to different cities. And one of the cities they took it to was Philadelphia. And there, a pastor by the name of Phillips Brooks, who loved President Lincoln, came for the viewing, preached a sermon in honor of Abraham Lincoln. You can still find it on the internet. Greatly impacted by what had happened to a man he regarded as a great hero. The leaders of his church sent Phillips Brooks on a trip to the Holy Land. And you understand, in 1865, it was a difficult journey by ship, and then by riding on the horses, riding on the camels. And it came to pass that in December of 1865, on Christmas Eve, Phillips Brooks and his group had ridden horseback from Jerusalem down about 6 miles to Bethlehem, and they went to the Christmas Eve service at the Church of the Holy Nativity, perhaps the oldest church in all of Christendom, a church that's still open today. You visit Bethlehem, you can visit that great church. Wasn't a tourist site in 1865 that it is today. Phillips Brooks was deeply moved by the beauty. It truly was a very small village in that day. nothing compared to the bustling city that it is today. He was deeply moved by it, and he wrote a poem about it and thought about it, the meaning of Bethlehem. And several years later, 1863, his choir director was writing a cantata for the children of the church. And he asked Pastor Phillips Brooks to help him. And Pastor Brooks gave to his choir director the words. And the choir director put those words to music. And it became one of our most beloved Christmas carols. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless streets, the silent stars go by. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I can't read Micah 5 without thinking of Matthew 2, without thinking of Phillips Brooks, without thinking of O little town of Bethlehem. And the point of Micah 5 is to say, God's got a man. He always had a man. He always had the plan. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, though you are small, unto you is born this day, what? In the city of David. The city of David. Bethlehem, David's town, the little town of Bethlehem. Though you are small, one will come from you who will be the ruler over Israel from me. Our Savior was born in Bethlehem, not by chance, but in fulfillment of prophecy as part of God's divine plan. So, remember this. You'll probably sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. If you haven't sung it already yet this Christmas season, you will. Understand, God is working out His plan. And His plan was always that Jesus would be born, God's Son would come to the earth and be born of the Virgin Mary in the little town of Bethlehem. And it's true. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. And so He does. May that be your experience this Christmas season. Go out and have a great day. A great day. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Have a great day, folks. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to finish the book of Micah. And then, yeah, we're going to read the book of Nahum tomorrow, too. It's going to be amazing. God bless. Have a great day. See you back here tomorrow.